I'm Michelle.
I'm Chris.
And I'm SP from the Starling Tribune,
a podcast member of the Gonna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeek.com.
And get ready because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
Hey friends, Jordan Woods Robinson here from AMC's The Walking Dead and Blue Man Group, and this is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, grab some gluten-free, non-GMO popcorn, and let's dive into the world pop culture bliss!
You're listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, and welcome everyone. This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke. How you all doing? And this is Lindsay Badger and Mike Ippolito. What's up, Team PopX?
Hey guys.
What's going on?
How we doing? How's everybody doing? Did you all?
We're doing awesome.
Did you have
a fluffy?
Oh, you're Mike's feeling fluffy tonight. Yay! Anyway, so Lindsay. So what's new? What's new in your world? Wow! No, I'm just that's just funny. So did you guys enjoy going to Thor Ragnarok over the past weekend? Maybe possibly.
I thought it was quite interesting.
Oh, cool, Mike! I know you got to hang down here with us and go see it in IMAX at Universal.
I did. It was quite enjoyable.
It was enjoyable. It was. And so we.
So was the company.
Oh, stop it. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
How did he do? I know.
All the love.
Can you feel? Anyway. So we want to welcome everybody over in the chat room now. I'm looking over here and I'm seeing like this thing is like blowing up. We got Anna hanging out with us. We got Michael Murray. We got our friend Luke. Darth Bach is back with us. Holy cow, guys. Thank you
welcome
so much.
Welcome back, everybody.
I know. Welcome to.
This is
so cool. Oh, guys, oh my God, seriously. All right, so guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joseph Burke, Central Florida seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone joining us live in the PopX.live chat room, and come hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXcast.com.
And I am not Austin Burke, nor do I resemble him in any shape or form. He was unable to be with us this week. We look forward to having him back.
Yes.
And if you missed last week's episode, episode 64, Blade Runner, A Retrospective Look, check out official website at PopXcast for this and other great shows from PopX.
Absolutely.
That's right. And I'm Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky Okie. Be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes after the show and click that subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. And while you're there, we'd certainly appreciate you showing us some love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review.
Yes, you know it. And man, I tell you what, it has been such an amazing couple of weeks in just the world of Marvel and just what all we've been hearing and what all we've been talking about. We're going to give you a little bit of a sample of that here in just a second. But Austin Burke, he couldn't be with us this week. He had a little bit of a future wife emergency. And so in that,
you gotta be there for your girl.
You gotta be there for your girl. And I think his wife, can everybody go, so I think it's just so sweet. You know, he just, you know, wanted to forfeit the show so he can maybe go and exert a little muscle on a tire on the freeway. God bless him. Love you, man. All right, so we're going to get this thing kicked off. This is the news. Don't go nowhere. We will be right back.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News coming to you live right here on PopXcast.com.
Do you want to know a little quick spoiler thing? Do you know the music that plays in the news intro for PopX? That's actually the original Superman theme from back in the 40s, I think.
I
can't help it. I gotta, you know.
You did so good.
It's Siegel and Schuster. So I mean, come on. Those guys are just so awesome. So leading on the top of the news headline this week, this is a pretty big one. Disney has announced that Rian Johnson is developing a brand new Star Wars trilogy now with Lucasfilm. Now, this is just coming literally out of the woodwork, and they took the fans and the press by a surprise when it was announced that a brand new trilogy is being developed. Now, Johnson he's been tapped to structure the next three films, and we're talking about the three films that will take place after Luke Skywalker. And he will work on the new trilogy with a longtime collaborator, Ram Bergman. Now, Johnson is set to write and direct the first episode of the upcoming Star Wars installment. So are we talking like 10, 11, 12? I think it's what we're talking about. And of all topics at the top of the discussion, there's been one potential possibility that has resurfaced, and it may be one of the fans are hoping for the most. Could Star Wars finally be giving us Knights of the Old Republic trilogy? Ooh. So let's just drop that while it's hot. Now, Lindsay, Mike, what are your thoughts on like, can you imagine a world in which we live where there's a Star Wars 10, 11, 12?
I'm excited because I was kind of a little sad that whole thing was kind of coming to a close, other than just, you know, your spinoffs or right. whatever. The right. whole main saga was coming to a close. So I'm kind of excited that they're going to continue it. But mm-hmm. I'm also concerned they're going to drag it out and beat it to death and people are going to lose interest.
Well, according to
there's a pro and a con to that.
Now, Mike, what's your take on this, Mike?
Yeah, I've kind of similar feeling on that. It's just I thought the last three they had, you know, 7, 8, and 9 were just going to be the end, you know, of that particular series, and then do a couple of the spinoffs and kind of slow it down. But apparently they're not, and that's exactly what I'm thinking. They just keep hitting us too much with it. It's just going to, you know, people are just going to get tired of it.
Well, gotcha. I hope not. But yeah, at some point you got to say, when are people going to get tired of comic book movies? You know what I'm saying? You know, there's phases, there's fads. Do you see a lot of movies right now being made of zombies? No, not really. So
no, and I'm kind of happy about that. Yeah, I'm not.
All right, so Lindsay Badger, what do you got coming up on the Disney? There's another Disney thing.
Okay. Well, there is the news that Disney is starting to own It's working on owning its own streaming service, similar to like Hulu mm-hmm. or Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Netflix's competition, and it's causing a major stir in the industry right now. The Marvel and Star Wars brands have been a particular focus of the discussion that has led speculation that Disney would allow a small amount of material to remain on Netflix. However, soon after word came out that Marvel and Star Wars movies were definitely being moved over to the Disney service, we have confirmation that Marvel's Netflix series will be doing the same as well. While Disney currently produces Marvel superhero series such as Daredevil for Netflix, the new Marvel shows in the future are expected to live on the company's own streaming service. That's going to be weird that they're going to split. So you're going to have like the first series seasons on one platform and then the new stuff on... Or are they going to have it both places?
I'm so torn about this because... You know, so Disney caters to more of the younger crowd. In that being said, more of a a lot of your adult stuff, like you know, some of your more Daredevil, Punisher. I mean, stuff that's just brutal. I'm really, stuff. You know, I mean, there's sides of Marvel characters that are really gritty and raw.
Deadpool?
Well, oh. well, we don't get ahead of us because that's a different merger.
Oh, okay.
But so you know, you start thinking about Disney. I know Disney right now is producing all the Netflix shows, but it's more of a grittier crowd drawing more. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just,
yeah,
I'm really
think
concerned
they did
that about
on purpose.
That. I'm really concerned about that, yeah. Because Daredevil is not meant to be toned down and he's not meant to be like lukewarm, mm-hmm. You know, he's so, yeah. Mike, you got any thoughts on the whole Disney Netflix separation?
Yeah. I don't know. I really can't, you know, they're kind of, sorry, I got a couple of thoughts at once going on.
It's okay.
Yeah, to move everything over to Disney, you know, especially the Marvel stuff like Daredevil, Luke Cage, all that stuff to be moved over, that's got a big blow to Netflix because no shows finally dropped. You know, that was, you know, mm-hmm. Netflix got a lot of subscribers on, you know, because of those shows. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a lot away, you know, from the subscribers, and you know, it Netflix will. Is really going to have to step up to try and keep a lot of people on board.
It's going to be different. It's going to be different, I think, for now. And but you know, Disney's going to be having their own streaming service, so I don't know. We'll just tell them out for it. But anywho, what's next? What's up?
To amend the Star Wars bit, Darth Baca over in chat said that it will not be a continuing trilogy of 10, 11, and 12.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Just FYI.
Interesting. Thank you, Mr. Baca,
for
clarification.
Thank you.
All right. Mike, what do you have for us?
Just one more bit of Disney news. Disney is reportedly in talks to purchase most of 21st Century Fox, who currently owns Star Wars, A New Hope, and the live-action big-screen movie rights for Marvel comic properties X-Men and Fantastic Four. Talks are said to have been on and off for weeks. And would specifically include 21st Century Fox Movie Studio, 20th Century Fox. The potential purchase, which would not include Fox News and Sports assets, would finally bring the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, and all characters under the Disney-owned Marvel umbrella. If the sale is made, Disney will gain control of the X-Men and Fantastic Four properties for use on big screen and bring two Marvel Comics' most well-known brands into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm. This is what we need.
Yeah.
This is huge news. So it's very exciting. I really wanted to follow through.
So we're going to pause the PopX button here just for a second and talk about this. All right. So there's. I've been actually meditating on this since this news story broke. I'm like, okay, this is going to be awesome because Marvel is finally going to be able to have the rights to Fantastic Four and the entire X-Men franchise. Okay, that's going to be good because at some point, we may gradually get in like a phase 5 or phase 6 of Marvel, we may actually get the introduction of the mutants and stuff like that. And that's going to be really awesome if and when this happens. Yeah. But on the flip side, what's going to happen to fan favorite films like Deadpool and Logan, who branded the favorite R rating, but yet exceeded and captured the true raw grit of Marvel comic superheroes? Now, Ryan Reynolds took to Twitter this past week to voice his concern. And he said, vote no, whatever you do, because, you know, Reynolds has actually put most of his past 10 years into this Deadpool project. And he's mm-hmm. fought so hard, Hollywood, to get that R rating to where, you know, he can truly be the Deadpool on screen that he is in the pages of the comics. And that's the other side of the token. Disney will dumb down Deadpool. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Think of that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So.
It's not good. Well, when the news broke, I just remember quite literally tripping over my words to be like, show.
I know. And I was like, oh my God, this is finally going to happen. And we finally get to see all of this. And I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Fox on Deadpool.
I mean, if you really meditate and marinate on that topic for a minute and think about the what ifs, what do you like about it as it is now?
Yeah.
And would you still like it if it was changed?
Guys, because I got to be honest.
Switching ownership.
I'm a Deadpool
fan. I'm a Deadpool fan too, but I really like seeing them together the way they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, the movie's written the way they're supposed to be to include all the storylines crossing over each other and interweaving into this amazing blanket of a gigantic, huge monstrosity of awesome sauce.
I have no idea.
So
that's definitely one that's going to be on the discussion tables for a long time, I think. So, am I lagging just a little bit, guys? I'm just curious.
Just a little bit. You want to do a refresh real quick?
If I do a refresh, everybody goes bye bye. It's not good.
Oh well, let's not do that then.
All right, so we'll just have to deal with it. All right, so moving on with the news. Right. Deadpool wants to take over Thanksgiving, and he's made a compelling case in the first official poster. Now, the merc with a mouth graced the cover of Good Housekeeping. Oh my God, are you serious? Yes, he did. But he wasn't done there. Inside the magazine, Deadpool can be seen hosting a Thanksgiving dinner with the crazy character from the film, Mr. Cable. Now, with Cable standing behind him, Deadpool serves a turkey to the entire cast. Oh my goodness. That is just like nerd moment right there. Oh, it's not good.
Somebody get Joe a copy of that magazine.
Yeah, I need it bad. I need it bad. Everybody pause for a second. I'm just going to do a quick refresh. Don't go nowhere. Hold on. Boom. There we go. Look at that. We're back.
Hey! We're back.
And that recorded anyway.
Nice.
So, yeah. So Deadpool can cook a turkey.
I'm impressed.
I am impressed. I wonder if Cable's eye was the one that warmed it up, though, that laser eye. I don't know. All right, moving on.
Yeah, little crust. The crust.
What we got, Mikey?
Mikey, you want to do the Doctor Who news, and then I'll take the other one?
Peter Capaldi will end his run as the 12th Doctor in this year's Doctor Who Christmas special, leaving the TARDIS door open for actress Jodie Whittaker to become the 13th in the series. Whittaker's milestone debut as the first female Doctor is a much-anticipated event, and the BBC is beginning to hype the new transformation with an official first-look image of Jodie Whittaker's Doctor.
Look at that. Wow.
This I am thrilled with.
I'm cool with the whole girl power thing, but that outfit, though.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that outfit's not speaking futuristic to me. I mean,
no.
I'm all about having a female doctor.
She looks like she went to a thrift store and popped some tags. I'm not feeling it.
I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of backstory to that. As far as the costume goes, which I've read, the boots and suspender was a throwback to Matt Smith, the 11th Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And, also, the striped shirt was also a throwback to the 4th Doctor, Tom Baker, because he had a scarf with the stripes on it, as well as the TARDIS. The TARDIS went back to its original blue from the 2nd and 3rd series of the show.
Wow, so they're going retro with this, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're going retro. So basically, she is a collage of Doctors.
She is an embodiment of all 12.
Looks like a collage of Doctors.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, she's a gorgeous person, and I'm sure she'll be an amazing doctor.
You know what? I'm actually really excited, though, to see how this is going to play out. I'm excited to see Doctor Who, one of the oldest science fiction programs on the planet, still running. I'm excited to see how this goes. I really am. So
it's going to be cool.
Yes, it is.
All right, well, we're going to shift into the DC world for a moment, you guys.
Okay.
All right, so every DC fan is wondering the status of The Rock's portrayal of Black Adam, especially because the character will not be appearing as the villain in the forthcoming Shazam movie. Well, they won't have to wait much longer, as a new rumor suggests Dwayne Johnson will be appearing in the new big bad in Suicide 2.
Mm-hmm.
The current plan for the sequel is for the members of the Suicide Squad to be tasked to track down a weapon of mass destruction. That weapon is Black Adam himself. The villain is best known in the DC comics as the main nemesis for superhero Shazam. Plans for the Suicide Squad 2 would go into production early 2018, though a report still pegs the film beginning around October of next year. Mm-hmm. So he still is going to play the role. It's just not when we expected him. So that'll be kind of nice.
That will be nice, actually. And hopefully we'll get a pretty decent script for Suicide Squad maybe this time.
Well, and if Shazam does well, they may do a Shazam 2 and he'll show back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. What
the rock? Yeah, he's cooking. So
is cooking.
You're welcome. So moving on. Sorry. I had to.
Boys and their toys.
Oh my God, seriously, how do you do that? He's so magical. Oh no. So Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and DC Entertainment have released a new trailer unveiling the next three DLC characters coming to Injustice 2. In Fighter Pack number 3, DC characters The Atom, thank you, The Enchantress, and Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, as you may recall, about a year ago, there was a huge crossover between IDW and DC Comics in which the Ninja Turtles and Batman joined forces. So this makes this doesn't shock me. Players who have purchased the Injustice 2 Ultimate Edition, this guy, the Injustice 2 Ultimate Pack, and the Injustice 2 Fighter 3 Pack will have early access to each three of the brand spanking new characters. Oh, man.
So you're saying that you weren't shell-shocked?
No, I'm not shell-shocked at all. But I will be having some cheese pizza and yelling cowabunga, dude.
Yeah, as long as you get some anchovies on it, because that's how they roll.
Oh, no
anchovies. That's the Ninja Turtle way.
No, lemon, please, no. Okay. All right, who's got the last new segment of the week?
I think Mikey's up for the last bit.
You're up, sweet chops.
The new AMC Visionary series, Robert Kirkman's Secret History of Comics, will air tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern, directly following new episode of The Talking Dead. This season of Secret History of Comics will include icons such as Stan Lee, Patty Jenkins, Linda Carter, Kevin Smith, Famke Janssen, J.K. Simmons, Michelle Rodriguez, and Todd McFarlane, among others.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to this.
Well,
that's an awesome really group of folks.
Let me drop a little something for you there. There was actually a precursor that was dropped on Hulu for this. And I got to tell you, it was phenomenal. And so definitely search this up. It goes back and tells the story of how Stan Lee and Jack Kirby come to be. And we're going to be talking about Jack Kirby here in just a few minutes. Definitely going to be awesome to check this out. And it's tonight and tomorrow.
The series. Secret History of Comics.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
That was actually something I read about what's going to be airing as part of the new episode. They said there was a phone conversation between Jack Kirby and Stan
there was.
Lee,
it's a radio conversation.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to portray it in an animated version.
Yep.
That'll be interesting.
But
yep, so it's going to be really exciting to see that, and be sure to set your DVRs and check it out on the interwebs.
I will have to.
Now, before we continue, I want to let you guys know we're going to be kind of slowly transitioning into the world of Thor Ragnarok from this point forward. And so before we do that, I'm actually going to go ahead and roll that spoiler alert sound effect, because if you haven't seen the film, beyond this point, we can't really guarantee what's going to come out of our mouths. It's probably going to be a lot of spoiler alerts. So if you don't like you've been warned, okay?
It's going to happen.
So here we go. We'll be right back.
Danger. You are about to enter a Pop-Ex spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return. You have been warned.
Yes. And so you have been warned, ladies and gentlemen. So now, before we do that, Mike has actually provided us with some really awesome figures over how Thor Ragnarok performed domestically here in the United States at the cinema. So, Ragnarok has earned $18.6 million on Friday. That means that the third Thor movie will likely come in a bit shy of its 60 million second weekend projections, earning between 54 and 56 million instead. But that's still enough to push the film past the $200 million domestic for a new total of $209 million. Now, Thor Ragnarok already has passed the $500 million worldwide marker earlier this week and should cross the $600 million by Monday morning. Now, two talking points that we're going to talk about. So So before we go any further, let's talk about the figures. What do you guys think? I mean, how do you think it's all stacking up? Do you think it's going to, obviously it's made bank, and I think it's probably one of the better selling of the Thor franchise. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think that it's definitely a very good success.
Mm-hmm.
And also, people are so well invested into the storyline leading up to the Infinity Wars.
Oh, yeah.
That it would be ridiculous to miss this.
It would be. And it's a huge, so crucial part.
It's like a snowball effect. Like way back, to, not even like Thor 1. What was the first one? Was it Avengers? Was that the first one?
No, 2011. It was Thor. It was just called Thor.
Thor was the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it's like snowballs over time. So I would only expect this to get bigger and bigger, like Hulk size revenue for this franchise.
I see what you did there.
Because, yes. You see. So I only see it getting, bigger, even though it's going to be a little slower as the weeks progress, but it's just going to.
I'm really happy with all the earnings and everything domestically. And I think that the film, honestly, opened up so many doors for future Marvel films in this genre with the whole pop culture vibe and just, you could definitely tell the different generations of Marvel movies, even though they all are congruently back to back story wise, there's different themes throughout. And I think Guardians of the Galaxy has introduced so many new themes to the Marvel universe. And I think Thor Ragnarok kind of carries that mantle, if you will, with that theme, the colorful space vibe that, everybody's kind of used to now in pop culture when you talk about a Marvel movie. And so a couple of things I want to talk about right quick, but then we'll get right into Ragnarok. So we all know that the Grandmaster had this contest. Can you guys remember the name of the contest? Anybody? Mueller?
Of champions.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. All right. So look at this. I was going through the Burke vault today. Now the Burke vault is very nice. It's a good vault. There's a lot of good stuff in it, but look at this, Jim.
Oh my gosh. It's the gem. Marvel superhero contest of champions.
Look at that. I mean, just look at that artwork. Isn't that great?
Is that a Captain America?
It is a Captain America. Now, here's something really cool. In light of the Secret Wars and everything that came out last year in the comics, not the movies, Marvel decided to re-release Contest of Champions, and guess what? I got the copy of that as well. See how it's updated artwork? So let's look at them side by side, shall we? And so this is kind of the introduction of the Grandmaster. We figure out who he is. So check that out, side by side. Pretty cool, isn't it?
That is amazing.
Yeah, you can definitely tell the difference between it's really cool. And so
yeah.
I actually, as a matter of fact, forgot I even had the Contest of Champions. I forgot I had it and I didn't even realize it. And something else I thought was kind of cool, I was wondering a question that I asked myself, how many times had Thor battled the Incredible Hulk in Marvel Comics overall? And I don't know that, but here's a classic cover of Thor and Hulk going at it. And that's such a beautiful retro.
Had this one posted up the other day.
Yeah. This is the one I was holding up. So this is a really classic comic, and they call him Old Greenskin in this one. So check that. Old Greenskin battles Thor. All right.
He likes to fight a lot. He gets angry.
Now, this next one is from Diamond Select, and this is a brand new Incredible Hulk PVC. Look at that guy.
And just to let you all know, this is not a comic book. It's a statue.
This is an actual statue. So this is a PVC statue, and it's pretty darn heavy. I got to be honest with you, but I have never owned a PVC statue up until recently. And so I'm one thing I'm really impressed with is the paint on this statue is really quality. It's like you would get on a resin model, and even the detail on the rocks and everything is just really awesome. But from Diamond Select, this is the Marvel. You can find this guy on some of the geek shops and on Amazon as well. But definitely check this out. I think if I'm not mistaken, my buddy Mike has got Doctor Strange. But so this is the Diamond Select Doctor Strange. Look at that.
Look at
isn't
this.
That pretty?
Oh, so awesome.
And can we get all that? Look at the base of it. Fun. The base is the Eye of Amagato. And this is the Marvel Diamond Select. Oh my gosh, that is so beautiful. That's a great piece. And these are all PVC figures. And I, you know, if you're into collecting figurines or busts, I do recommend PVC because it's really detailed. It's not a resin or a porcelain one.
I almost feel like I'm on a QVC show for just like 30 seconds.
Well, you're going to have to deal with it one more time because I got another one.
I'm just kidding.
So now this is another one. This is only exclusive to the Disney store. But they released, this is Diamond Select Marvel Selects 2017 Incredible Hulk. Now, they've been doing these Hulk figures one a year since 2007. And I do have one from every year. But this is the Gladiator Hulk.
Yeah, quite a few.
And so he's got his shield. He's got his head mantle. I mean, this guy, look how big he is compared to my head. He's bigger than my head, guys. And he comes with this really awesome axe. Check the detail out on that. Pretty cool. And so this is Disney store, and it's the only place you can get it. You can't get it on Amazon or any of the toy shops. So pretty awesome figure.
That's really cool. I love all the details on all the statues. They're really pretty darn nifty.
So that's a little bit.
Diamond Select, they were calling it the Marvel Gallery.
Is that what it's called? The Marvel Gallery? Yeah.
I checked it out, and they have a bunch of new ones coming out. It looks like it's very early in the series.
Mm-hmm.
They only have a few of them, like the Hulk, Doctor Strange.
They have a Deadpool, I think, and a Spider-Man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But the next round, they got all the Guardians of the Galaxy. I've seen those online, and they're pretty amazing. I think those will be the next one I'll be eyeing.
But keep your eye on that. If you're a collector and you like to display stuff like that, that's really cool looking, highly detailed, definitely check out the Diamond Select Marvel Gallery. It's going to be pretty awesome. So, and now, guys, we're going to officially transition over into Thor Ragnarok. Now, the big question everybody asks when they go into the cinema, what the heck is a Ragnarok? Or is it, as the Hulk said in the movie, Ragnarok? So, all right, I want to tell you right quick. Ragnarok is the eternal cycle of death and rebirth for the Asgardians. It's an ongoing cycle. This happens. It's a phase of life for Asgardians. During this cycle, Asgard is destroyed and a number of them will die. And so eventually the gods will be reborn and the cycle will begin anew. Now, while each Ragnarok is largely the same, there are some differences between them. The cycle was perpetuated by the enigmatic beings known as those who sit above in shadow and who fed off the energies released during Ragnarok. Now, those who sit above the shadow, we're talking about celestials here. And if you remember from one of our previous shows, we talked a little bit about what are celestials. These are the god beings that created all of Marvel. So these are like the higher up figures, you know, everybody that created the planets, the worlds, the dimensions, the multiverses, et cetera, et cetera. So pretty Fraggle Rock. That's funny. I'm reading the chat room over there.
Yeah.
You're funny there, Luke. But right off the bat, let's talk a little bit about what we liked about the film. Now, I think there's two dudes here, and I think it's only fair we let the lady go first. So,
oh no, you're gonna make me open it up.
Yeah, is that okay? I feel people.
Since I won the coin toss, can I defer?
Yeah, you can defer. All right, so you know what? I'll lead. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Going in here, yeah, you got to understand a couple things about me mentally. Now, Lindsay, you do have to go next because I did go first. I'm just letting you know.
It's fine.
Nudge. I'm a huge Hulk fan. So anytime Hulk is on the silver screen, I'm probably going to be sitting there more than one time in the theater watching multiple shows. But with Thor Ragnarok, there was something different about the whole direction of the film. And like I said earlier, I think Thor Ragnarok is that kind of visual perspective that's going to kind of catapult Marvel into the next phase. So long, you know, you think of Captain Rogers, you think of Captain America, Steve Rogers, the number one, the first Avenger, it's kind of a dark movie. It's the Axis, Nazis versus the Americans, the allies. Then you get into Thor number one, which talks about, you know, the the frost giants that, you know, are kind of invading Asgard and trying to take back. That's a dark theme too. And then you go to Iron Man 1. Tony is captured by terrorists and has to figure out a way to get out of the cave. And so all these themes are really dark. And then you get to Ragnarok. And we started seeing this trend, even with Civil War and Ultron, we've seen kind of this dark vibe. But Thor Ragnarok is kind of like this beacon of interesting light shining amongst all the MCU. And for me, I think it just really adds a lot of color, adds a lot of life, and adds a lot of vitality. I mean, the jokes were on point. The interactions, the scenes between the characters, between Banner and Thor, are just awesome for me. And it was one of those movies that, honestly, I looked down at my Apple Watch, and my heart rate was at 128 because I was so excited during this movie to watch it. And it just kind of shows, and I'm so glad that that anticipation and that excitement paid off, because sitting down and seeing all these stories and all these characters that I read about for so many years, like the Cronins, the Rock People, and Planet Hulk, and Sakaar, and the Grandmaster, and all this cool stuff. And, you know, we're talking, these books, ladies and gentlemen, were 1982 is when they came out. And so the Grandmaster has been around a long time. We're just now starting to see him come on the silver screen. For me, that's kind of exciting. And I'm really happy that Jeff Goldblum was the one that was able to portray the Grandmaster, because he's so quirky. And he was even though he was dark in the comics, he's kind of this guy god figure, like the Puppet Master in the comics. Jeff Goldblum was more of a bumbling idiot who happened to have a staff that would melt you if he didn't like you. And I think the visuals were so many throwbacks to just, well, there's so many. Jack Kirby was literally paid homage to so many times in this film, from Hela's headdress to the cinematic paintings and murals. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But for me, it was one of those films that had the perfect blend of action, comedy. It was just nonstop, scene after scene after scene after scene, and I loved it. I really did. And honestly, it's in the top three of my Marvel films of all time. Easily, nice. The number three slot. So, but that was some of my thoughts about it. Now, we're going to dive into this more as we go along, mm-hmm. but that was some of my opening. When I was sitting there for the first time watching it in the cinema, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. So, Lindsay Badger, I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything that you said. To add to that, I love the goofiness.
Mm-hmm.
There's you still have that Marvel flavor, that Marvel style there, but there you can tell there's a new twist to this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more comedy, but it's obviously not slapstick. It's almost more Guardian style.
It is.
Comedy.
Yeah.
So you're pulling in some of that tie in, you're starting to connect the, like you said, the farther we get along through the universe, there's more ties in and references to other mm-hmm. things. I think I wasn't a huge fan of Banner.
Okay.
He was a little more not hero-y. And I know he relies heavily on Hulk's character mm-hmm. to take care of everything, but he was a little scaredy cat, a little more for me than in other instances I've seen him. So that was a little bit of a negative, but overall he did decide at the end to pull it through. Is my connection okay? Because I keep getting warning signals.
I don't know. Okay. I'll refresh.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'll refresh. Okay. Keep going, Lindsay.
Pretty fluid. I love the Asgardian folklore. Just, you know, relating back to the Greek style and the Roman style and that whole, you know, gods and goddesses. And that whole thing ties me in from the beginning anyways, the mm-hmm. mysticals. And I'm glad that we don't have a love interest necessarily in this story.
Yes.
I'm kind of happy that we got rid of that so we can focus on the main goal of the mm-hmm. plot point mm-hmm. and not have a lot of detours off of the side trying to figure all of that other stuff out. I really liked the graphics, that how they did all of the action sequences with her hair turning into the headdress, and just and I mean, this is just standard Marvel awesome sauce. Mm-hmm. They just drowned all their movies in awesome sauce, and it's just incredible. I enjoyed, is it Krog, the stone guy?
Yeah, Korg.
Korg. I always want to throw an extra letter in there.
It's okay.
Korg. For a minor character, he really stood out for me.
Really?
He really did. He really stood out for me. I loved it. And maybe it was just the New Zealand accent because that was totally out of place.
I didn't expect him, though, to have this voice. You see this big giant rock guy, and he's like, hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, what's up? Are you the new Doug?
Hey, what's up? Like, Doug's over there, bro.
He was a great little supporting character. I was hoping to see him actually fight, though. Well, he never really fought necessarily. Like at the end, he kind of did his self-sacrifice thing. But in the champions competitions, he's like, "Yeah, we're just kind of like the warm-up guys."
Yeah,
he was fun.
I like Korg though.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things. I liked seeing. Is it Valerie?
Valkyrie.
Valkyrie. Yes, Valkyrie. At first, I didn't like her character. When she came out of the ship at first and she was drunk.
Yeah.
That was the worst fake drunk I've ever seen in my life. I'm just going to say it right now. That was horrible. But I grew to enjoy her towards the end. So that was nice to like that. And I loved having Doctor Strange make an appearance.
Yes, Stephen Strange.
And have him kind of put the foot down on getting Loki the heck off of our planet because he's a hot mess.
He was a hot mess.
And Loki is always a hot mess. You never know what side he's going to be on. So I would rather just keep him contained in a tight little bubble and never let him out.
Yeah, I think most of Asgard would like to keep him in a tight little bubble.
Yes, but you know what? He came through for us at the end and, you know, saved the people, so at least he gets a gold star for this movie.
Nice. Well, awesome. It sounds like you had a really good time and you went with Josh, right?
I enjoyed it. I did. And Josh enjoyed it as well. He was concerned because he didn't see Dark World. So he was kind of worried about having some missing holes. But I think overall he enjoyed it. He just had a couple of questions to answer later.
Well, Mikey, what did you think, Mr. Ippolito?
I thought it was great out of the three movies. This was my favorite. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you all you guys said, it was just a great mix of comedy, action, and Carl Urban. That was a bonus.
Carl Urban, yeah.
I thought that was great because that's when I leaned over and I said, is that Carl Urban?
Yeah,
It was good. The one thing that was missing, which, you know, I was kind of a little bit disappointed, there was no Lady Sif. She did not return for this final movie.
Yeah.
I figured since she was in the other two, she would have been back for the third one. But due to scheduling conflicts, she just couldn't do it from what I had read.
Yeah.
So it's kind of looking forward to that. But it tried to take, you know, what Guardians of the Galaxy has with the comedy and, you know, the comedy action back and forth. And it did a great job of it. I thought it was great. And the bonus was Doctor Strange. I enjoyed seeing that.
I love that too.
Yes.
And, it was really enjoyable.
I couldn't agree more, and I think there's so many little, when you start dissecting Thor Ragnarok, which we're going to do here in just a second, we're going to actually drop some Easter eggs. Like, if you were in the theater and you were like, that looks familiar, but I can't quite point out what that means or what that is, we're going to help you along with that. So, Lindsay?
A couple of little tiny points. The scavengers at the beginning, when Thor falls down. Mm-hmm. And all the people come and he gets tossed in the net and whatnot. I swear, like, half those people look like sand people from Star Wars. The masks and everything.
Well, I think it has more of a Guardians of the Galaxy influence for me because, you know.
There's a little more multicolored, obviously. Yeah. I mean, sand people are very muted. But just kind of their overall feel. I was just like, okay, are we in Star Wars again? we're feeling a little bit of vibe from
sand
that.
People are scavengers, and I guess scavengers are scavengers.
The music of the movie was amazing, too. You totally got the 80s retro vibe, but I almost started to think that we were going to start seeing letters fly in for the intro of Stranger Things a couple of moments there.
That would have been cool, too, though.
I would not hate it. I am a huge fan of Stranger Things.
That would have been cool, too, bro.
Yeah, cool.
Doug's over there. He's dead, bro.
Anyway. He's alive.
Oh no, he's dead. Anyway,
I'm carrying out of a guilt.
I can keep going on with Doug all day long. That's funny. So, Mike, what did you share your thoughts and everything, or you?
Yeah, there was something that I kind of found out afterwards because I noticed something in the movie.
This is what I was asking for. I was pumping for this, yeah. So go for it.
Yeah. This scene right here where Hela destroys Thor's hammer kind of threw me off because the original trailer showed this.
I remember that.
In the streets of New York. Supposedly, what I understand was they rewrote the whole section because Odin was supposed to have been banished to New York as a homeless guy, and they were supposed to have this battle in the street, and I'm going, I remember seeing in the trailer, and then I just didn't see in the movie. I think it's, sometimes me, I missed something.
Well, but, they did refilm it, and they thought that having Odin on the shores of Norway, we're Norwegian folklore and where the whole Nordic Norseman mythology came from, it would be more of a proper send off because in spoiler alert, Odin dies.
He does.
So it would be more to see him kind of vaporize and materialize into thin air than somewhere in a street alley. You know what I'm saying? It would kind of lose its luster.
Makes sense.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to be talking about Grandmaster Staff. Should we drop that ball or should we just?
Oh, the grand with the speculation.
Yeah,
that was something else that I'd seen. If they say the soul stone may have been inside that staff since it was considered orange.
Think about it. The top of it was orange, which is the soul stone. And as soon as it touched whoever, it melted.
It's true.
Another speculation
question that my husband had shortly after we left was, did Loki take the Tesseract when he went in?
I have a feeling he did why would they take time to stop and have him glance purposely at the Tesseract?
I know, right? Yeah. They were like, here's all the pretty things.
Yeah. And here's the one you want to go steal for Thanos.
Yes. So there you go.
There you go.
And in regards to the Grand Master, as far as him possibly having, I mean, they really didn't show it in the movie or confirm it, but as the Grand Master being the brother of the Collector.
Did you know that?
Tied together.
I didn't know that, but I love that.
The
tie-in.
Collector from Guardians and the Grand Master are related. Yes, they are from the same genetic.
My goodness.
That's why they both have the little paint thing right here, the little tattoo-y thing, if you think that about it. Yeah, look at Lindsay just had a mind explosion. I love
everyone that's listening to this is probably going boo right now, unless they're super nerds like these guys over here.
Well, you're a nerd
too. The comic version of the Grand Master is he's all blue. They said they didn't want to do that because he was a blue alien in that film that he did back in the 80s.
Yep.
So they just decided to just put that little blue thing right there. And
I almost did a blue thing just for an homage.
You should have.
I did.
But you needed white hair to do that.
We're not going full grand.
Well, guys, before we give our actual rating score, which we're going to do, we're going to give you some really quick Easter eggs. And these are some things that you may have seen or may not have seen, or may some really cool information tidbits that you probably want to know after seeing the film. And so we're all going to do about two or three a piece. And we've got some really good ones here. So we're going to kind of get through these pretty quickly for you. Now, the number one, all hail King Kirby everywhere. Now, what does that mean? Well, from the colorful set designs of Sakaar and the Grandmaster's viewing suite, which you see right here, do you notice anything behind the individuals on the walls that kind of looks like old retro 60s and 70s style artwork? Well, guess what? It is. To Hela's costume design, Marvel pays proper homage to the late comic genius who would have been celebrating his 100th birthday this year. Now, the artwork adorning Grandmaster's suite is taken directly from a splash page drawn by the King of Comics himself in 1967. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Fantastic Four number 64. That segment from the issue is the segment that's in the Grandmaster's suite and adorned throughout the entire Contest of Champions arena. Isn't that cool how he can use retro art to create... And just an homage to the man who created the entire thing, almost. So.
I love it when they do stuff.
I love it when they do that, too. Beautiful artwork, by the way. And so the next one, number two, Frog of Thunder. You heard me right. Bear with me for a second. Early on in the movie, Thor remembers some of the bad things that have recently happened to him, including one being turned in bizarrely into a frog. Now, in the 80s, Loki did, in fact, turn Thor temporarily into a frog in the comics. But that's not Thor's only connection to amphibians. Now, the character of Simon Walterson was also transformed into a frog and once lifted the silver of Mjolnir, became Throg, ladies and gentlemen. Not Throg, yes.
Throg.
The Frog of Thunder. I cannot make this up.
This is ridiculous.
Obviously.
This is ridiculous.
Now, obviously, we've left out some key details, but yeah. The comics can get pretty freaking weird. I'm not going to lie. We have Throg. And the hammer is actually called Thronir. Throg. I have not Thronir. I'm done with that. But yeah, there was actually a reference to Thor being turned into a frog in the movie. Boom.
Oh,
nice.
I missed that one completely.
All right. Now the next one I have is really cool. It's the Grandmaster's bust building. That giant tower that he has with all these faces on it. Now, if you notice, what is all those faces? Who is all these people? Well, if you look, I have a couple here outlined for you. On the right, you have Man-Thing. Remember we talked about Man-Thing back in one of the older shows? And we also have Beta Ray here chilling out. And it's pretty cool that, you know, Beta Ray Bill is on a tower. Now, if you look up, if you're going up, we also see Ares. Ares is in the middle. And below Ares, we have the Bi-Beast. Now, Bi-Beast was first introduced in The Incredible Hulk. And so it was somebody. And right in the bottom, the main one at the bottom of the tower, if you zoom in on it and look at it on Google, it's actually Fin Fang Foom, Jack Kirby's giant dragon superhero beast. Interestingly enough, that's pretty cool. So
are these the past champions?
Exactly. These are previous champions up. And then Hulk, of course, as we see through the movie, his is being built because he's the current champion. So
that's right.
Interesting. Interesting tower there. But,
Very nice. I didn't know what those faces were. It's pretty cool.
Mike, you got some stuff for us?
Sure. Scrapper 142. Valkyrie goes by the handle Scrapper 142 on Sakaar, which director Taika Waititi confirmed for us in reference to Hulk 142, which, as you probably concluded, featured none other than Valkyrie, although slightly different incarnation to the one we see in the movie.
Yeah. So look at that. 142 is the actual, and they call her Scrapper 142, which is a direct homage to Incredible Hulk 142, which is the first appearance of Valkyrie. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty good.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Familiar Actors, when Thor returns to Asgard, he sees a troop of famous thespians reacting to the tragedy of Loki. The God of Mischief is played by Matt Damon, while Chris Herman's brother, Luke, takes on the role of Thor, and Jurassic Park's Sam Neill rounds out the cast as Odin. Did anyone else catch Matt Damon in Ragnarok?
I did. I caught Matt Damon. I looked at Josh. I was like, "That's Matt."
Yeah, it was one of those. It was one of those things where I'm like, I was talking.
It was so quick though. If you weren't looking,
I missed it. And I didn't even pick up on Sam Neill as Odin. I didn't even know that was him because he looks totally different with that gray beard. And I'm like, this guy looks familiar. Then I found out, oh my God, it's the dude from Jurassic Park. And my gosh, that's crazy.
Yes. So, very cool.
Very cool. Yes.
Infinity Fakery. Hela reveals that the Infinity Gauntlet in Nolan's vault that we first saw in the original Thor film is in fact a fake, which finally explains why we saw the completed Gauntlet all those years ago. In fact, this fleeting moment resolves a long-standing plot hole in Marvel Cinematic Universe, which has existed since the original Thor in 2011.
Mm-hmm. So
I love how she just strolled up in there. She's like, "Fake,
it's a fake." And she just, but you know, it's weird. You see Thor, you go back and you watch the original Thor, and there's this scene that Mike's got right here, this screen capture, and all the gems are in it. And you're like, "Wait, they're looking for the Tesseract and." You know, the ether is what was part of Thor, And the ether stone's already there. I was like, why are all these stones already there if they're looking for this stuff?
Yeah.
And so come to find out, it was more than just an artifact. It was a fakery that was made to I guess, make the vault look
cool.
Throw
somebody off
yeah.
the
And so Hela, in one line, addresses that. Oh, it's a fake. And she kicks it off the stand.
Fake.
Yeah.
I love her sass. It's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, while we're talking about Hela, I'll go ahead and dive into mine. In the film, it's revealed that she is the daughter of Odin. While in the comics, she's actually the daughter of Loki. Popex note here, Loki's fling in the comics was a giantess named Angerboda. She was from an ancient race of giants in an Asgardian lore. So we've got some. They need to get on Ancestry.com and straighten this out.
No, I don't think they can. I don't think they can. I think that Angerboda died many millennia ago. And it's just.
All right, fine.
It's all this god finagling around.
Well, speaking of family, you always love the family portraits, right? In the throne room hieroglyphics, if you look closely at the mural in Odin's throne room, you'll spot his father, Thor's grandfather, Bor. And you'll also see Laufey the Frost Giant, which is Loki's true father, who was also featured in the first Thor movie.
Mm-hmm.
So all the families getting together in their pictures.
You got Grandpa Boar going on.
Grandpa Boar.
Yes, the Frost Giant. Yeah.
And the next little nugget is a page from Planet Hulk. Many references to Incredible Hulk's mid-2000s comic book storyline that was written by Greg Pak. Carlo Pagulayan from Planet Scar, including Krog.
Korg.
Fun fact, Korg. See, I always say his name wrong. Korg is actually featured in the second Thor film, Dark World, as Thor, in one single thrust of his hammer, shatters Korg into rubble. Though Korg isn't verbally named dropped in the second film, he was able to be used in Ragnarok for that sole purpose, and we assume the first incarnation was just another Cronin.
Mm-hmm. So
I love that character.
There was I had one image. It was really interesting. If you go back and watch Thor 2, you know, Thor's kind of, you know, boistering with his mates and all that, and this big rock guy comes out. And we're talking this is Korg long before Ragnarok ever came along. He just growled like this big beast, you know, and it's just like, and then Thor just takes his hammer, one swoop, he just shatters into a million rocks. And so it's a funny little scene. I like that. But they didn't really say that was Korg. In part two, we just kind of think he's another Cronin. So.
Part two, bro.
Doug's dead. So moving along here. So Thor channels his inner pirate, Har-Milady. The other big influence on the movie is Jason Aaron's recent run in the comics. Thor losing his eye and sporting an eye patch is straight out of the old King Thor story arc. Now, speaking of eyes, did anyone notice the trailer? When Thor ascends on the Bifrost Bridge in the trailer, wait for it, he has his eye. Did you notice that? If you go back and watch the trailer, Thor comes down on the Bifrost Bridge, you know, after he's had his big reveal in the lightning, he's got both eyes. But in the film, when he descends, he's only got one and the other one's burnt out. I'm like, that is really good marketing because you just tricked us. We didn't know Thor was going to get a bad eye knocked out. Did anybody catch that?
I missed it, but I'm glad that they kind of did that because that would totally ruin
it. I noticed that right off because I do soak up a lot of these Marvel trailers and I kind of remember the scenes for that purpose. And when I saw the film, I'm like, wait, whoa. You know, he's got both eyes and this is the final battle. How did what? And then, you know, in the movie, of course, it's a lot different. So definitely interesting. Moving along, what are you the god of? Well, Hela wields the all-black Necro Sword in Ragnarok. And while the weapon belongs to Gore, the god Butcher, in Aaron's, we're talking about Jason Aaron's works, of course, comic book writing run, along with the sword, she also steals one of his famous lines that he wrote, and you can see it right here in the comic. What are you the god of again? Ah, yes, gotta love that. Mm-hmm. Didn't Cate Blanchett do just an amazing job as Hela?
She, oh my gosh. Yeah, over the top. It was amazing.
Easily one of my favorite villains in the MCU.
She's very, very
witty, cunning. It's not got time for your nonsense. Just get right to it. And the last of mine has been Scourge, the Hefty, and the Hefty Shake Weight. I don't have anything. I don't have anything here that I can do with the Shake Weight. But we'll move on. Carl Urban's Scourge is plucked
and
right
I'm not
from,
doing it.
No, I don't want you to do it. Carl Urban's Scourge is plucked right from the comics. And so are those two awesome machine guns that he's fond of. Now, the movie recreates Carl's character's demise in the Mighty Thor 360 to 362. Now, that magical shake weight that he's wielding at the beginning of the movie is actually, oh my gosh, sit down for this. It's actually the first item in the history of Marvel and to DC Comics crossover. Yes, the shake weight. This very same device, not a replica, not one that looks this exact same shake weight, was in Ryan Reynolds' depiction of Green Lantern. When he first found out that he was the Green Lantern and he put his suit on, his buddies there with the shake weight, just going to town with it. And I know the visual is just enough for you, right? I could just do this all day and you guys would be like, yeah, just don't do that, Joe. That's not right. That's not proper. He's not being Christian.
Stop it.
You think about it, though. This is the first item, and it's kind of a nice little nod from the producers and directors because he brought that item over into the Marvel universe. So now we've had the first item ever to be a full crossover between the worlds of Collision. Yes.
Nice.
Indeed. And I think that, is it Mike? It's the last couple, I believe.
Yeah, Mike, you have the last two. Round it up.
Golden Locks of Hair. The movie also has quite a couple callbacks to the first Avengers movie. For access to Quinjet, Thor says Point Break, which is the joke Tony makes about Thor in the first movie due to his sun-kissed locks, recalling Patrick Swayze's character, Bodhi, in the classic 90s action movie.
Bodhi,
sorry.
It's okay. Gotcha, man.
Contest of Champions. You may also have caught the one-liner in the film uttered by the Grandmaster of his brutal game of gladiators known as the Contest of Champions. While this term is an actual ongoing series in the Marvel Universe, which the Grandmaster is the mastermind. First launched in 1982 by Mark Grunwald and drawn by none other than John Romita Jr. and Rob Leight.
Yes, yes, yes. Fantastic. So there is about 14 little Easter eggs for you guys that you guys may or may not have known about. And you know what? There is so much stuff that's thrown into this film. I could have made a list of about 40. I'm not joking. So I had to kind of pick and choose which ones to give you. Now, here's the question. Did you pick up something that we didn't? Leave a comment below and let us know, okay? Because we'd love to see what kind of Easter eggs you may have picked up. But, all right, so we ready for our final rating, guys?
I think we're ready.
All right. Like, do you want to do ladies first or you want me to?
All right. I'm going to throw down because
I don't know what I'm doing with my hands right now. I don't know what's going on right now.
This is thoroughly. The sun is setting. The sun is going down.
What am I doing?
The sun is setting. The sun is going down. Okay.
The sun's getting low. The sun's getting real low. The
sun's getting lower. It's an overall good feel good movie. It gets you action. It gets you laughs. You even get a little bit of a tear jerk with Odin goes. It is the color of the wind, but so you get a kind of a full spectrum of emotion, and your entire family can go and watch this, and I don't think you'd be too offended at all.
There is some butt overall, crack, though.
There is. Well, you know, they see that from their dad when they bend over.
Big green butt crack.
I'm gonna put this one at a good solid 8.2.
Nice.
That's a pretty good score to give this one. Certified Badger Fresh.
Certified Fresh right here. Well, you need we to come up with our own thing because Certified Fresh is Rotten Tomatoes.
We do.
Yeah.
Well, fine.
Yeah. Legitimately Pop X. Anyway.
That's right.
So, Mike, I'm curious. If you were rating this on a scale of 1 to 10, what would be your final score?
Well, I'm going to go way up there, and I'm going to go with a 9.7. I love this movie. Whoa. I thought it was the best out of the three.
Wow.
I think it kind of, you know, with the trying to take on Guardians with the comedy, I think it knocked it out of the park. And I think the way they It seems like with Iron Man and Captain America, they closed out after three films. This is the third for Thor, and I think they just closed it out perfectly.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree
definitely,
more.
Definitely a great ending to the Thor franchise.
Yes. Oh, and it's a little tear, you know, because, you know, we've
went out with a bang.
We've had three Caps. We've had three Iron Mans. Now we've had three Thors. And if you've been following the media, we've actually had three Hulk films. And you know what I'm saying? We've had three Hulk films over the course of three different movies. Think about that. So I am actually going to pull a card from the wonderful Mr. Bob Barker, who was the gracious host of Price is Right from almost 40 yes. years. And I'm going to up the ante to a 9.8. Ladies and gentlemen, because I do believe this film, I'm sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to outbid you on this, but I will get to play Plinko at some point in my life. Yeah, I just think 9.8. I mean, I don't really get you. You guys have been with me for a long, many episodes here on PopX. I rarely give anything that's really high like that. But this movie, I mean, this movie really speaks to me. I mean, there's so many things in my life that kind of reflects in this film. My quirkiness, my crazy nature, and the Incredible Hulk, and just everything that's surrounding the story, the beautifulness of this film, the fact that it's just a one big massive homage to Mr. Jack Kirby, who's one of my favorite artists of all time. This film is just like seriously a masterpiece. And even right down to the score, I loved the score in this, and they brought back Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song, one of my favorite rock songs.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to get a Led Zeppelin song in any movie.
But they did this one.
And they got it in this one, and they placed it well. And they did.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. So 9.8, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first.
Guys, you're making me want to change mine. I'm going to put mine up at an 8.6. I'm going to bump it up just a little bit.
Okay.
Because you're bringing up some good points.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm not going to go the full 9.
Okay. All right. She's not going to go the full 9. Those darn sand people.
No.
But all right. So I want to know over in the chat room, we still have Luke, Anna, Darth, and all the guys hanging out with us. I want to know, what is your score? Let us know right now in the chat room.
If you guys saw the movie, let us know what your score is.
All right. And so as we get ready and wrap this up, guys, I want to thank you so much for joining. This has been such a fun episode. You're talking about a Marvel cinematic movie here, and it's always a big deal here on PopX. And so this is really fun. We're going to wrap it up. And so hopefully if we see your score, we'll give it a quick shout out before we actually end the broadcast, okay? And as always, if you see something exciting on the shelves at your local comic book shop or around the theater and geek culture in general, let us know on social media with our hashtag YoPopX. Now, if you use the hashtag, we could use your post in a future episode of PopX or even on our Instagram feed. So hashtag YoPopX.
Also, we're part of an amazing network called Gone to Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GoneToGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network.
That's right. You can also check us out on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest. Everywhere we are at PopXCast. You can also send comments and suggestions to us via email at PopXCast@gmail.com. And also for future past shows, and visit our official website, www.popxcast.com. And it looks like we do have some ratings over in the side real quick.
Yes, we do.
Anna gave it a 9.5. Pretty perfect.
Nice.
And Darth Baca gave it 9.6. So I'm thinking that this is a real winner for everybody.
Wow. That's really impressive, guys. Thanks so much for sharing and hanging out with us tonight on our live broadcast. Truly awesome to have everybody here. Mike, how can people find you on the interwebs if they want to tweet you? Can they get a hold of you anyway?
Yes, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm under Dynamics1. And I'm still not Austin Burke, and we'll look forward to having him back next week.
Yeah, so we got to razz him when he comes back about flat tires.
Yeah, we're going to have to nudge him a little bit.
Just something about a pump and a flat tire just sounds really funny, and I know there's a really bad joke in there somewhere. I'm just going to let that go
now. You're probably going to get him checked. Okay. All right, so you can find me, the queen of really bad puns.
Wow.
Lindsay Badger at LR Badger all over the internets.
And I am Joseph Burke, a.k.a. at Joseph Burke Arts on the web. You can find me everywhere on social media. And, of course, hats off to my amazing Team PopX that just comes through every single episode. You guys are freaking boom sauce. Mike, thanks for the visual love. Mike is dueling right now. He is doing two different computers at the same time. It's this guy is like MacGyver of machines. I don't know what he's doing, but I know it's working. So I'm just like, thank you, Michael.
Now, that's the amazing part. It's working.
Oh, man. So guess what, guys? Next week, we're going to be back. All right. So we got another show for you next weekend. Oh, my God. Back to back. Pop
More X. Nerdy goodness.
Now, this is November the 19th. Next Sunday night, we're going to be talking all things Justice League. Oh, yeah. So we have the Justice League show coming up next weekend for you. We're going to go and see it in the theater this weekend. Hopefully all the Team Fox can make their rounds and go see it. If not, it's going to be awesome. We're so excited. But from all of us here at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Lindsay Badger, Mike Ippolito, you guys are awesome. Hats off to everybody over in the chat room, Darth, Luke, Anna, and everybody that's floated in and out. Thank you so much. We love you. And from all of us here at PopX, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. We'll see you next time.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.